You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Good Wednesday afternoon, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class on KGYM. We take it through the 3 o'clock hour. We are presented by Hennings Financial here for the Gym Class program. They are your retirement rollover specialists. Hennings Financial is a Cedar Rapids-based financial services firm focused on your retirement journey. Their specialty is helping pre-retirees and the newly retired manage their assets to produce a sustainable income. Head to KGYMRadio.com, click on your current life stage, and learn more about what they can do for you. And a big thanks to Hennings Financial for helping us out as our presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program each and every day, right here on KGYM. Scott Unash with you here from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes joining me from not too far away anyway on the southwest side. How are you?
Doing well. Doing very well. Sunny day has kind of turned into, it's actually raining out there right now.
Yeah, it's raining.
Hopefully you didn't have any hail damage last night. That was something.
Holy cow. That escalated quickly. Get too far into certain Will Ferrell movies, anyway. But yeah, hopefully everybody came through that okay. And there were a few damaged cars out there that I know about. That's the last thing we needed about this time. But you know what? I'm not going to say par for the course in springtime in Iowa, but you're going to have that at times, and we had that last night. And again, if you don't like the weather in Iowa, wait about 30 minutes, and it will change because we're going to see chances of snow early next week.
No way.
Yeah. Not significant snow, just traces, but the possibilities are there, I read, and that's never a good thing. The only good thing about it is it's going to last for about an hour or two, and then we move on, I guess, right?
Nothing like 1972.
No. Okay. 73, I think it was. Was it
73?
It was 73, yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah. We're about to that anniversary here, as a matter of fact. Be right in that area anyway. 1 year before an anniversary today that we are celebrating, Mark. 1974, on this very day, Hank Aaron became the all-time, at that time, home run king in Major League Baseball, as he hit a home run at old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium off of Al Downing of the Los Angeles Dodgers to go into the history books.
Yeah, and there was no social distancing when he rounded the bases either. That's one of the things I remember most, as fans came out and wanted to touch Aaron and run around the bases with him. And that was, one of the first games of the year, I think, back in the day. And was it Milo Hamilton on the call?
He had one of the calls, I believe. I don't want to say 100% that is the case.
Yeah.
But there are several calls of it out there. And, boy, that'll make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, whichever call you hear. But yeah, that was a very, very scary time as well, because if people do the research on it, you know, there were a lot of death threats out there as far as Hank Aaron is concerned, about breaking Babe Ruth's home run record. Turns out, thankfully, that nothing happened, of course. But yeah, like you said, when people are out there running the bases alongside Hank Aaron, it was a little scary, that scene back in 1974.
Yeah, and Aaron went through so much in his career. You talked about the racism, and he was actually a teammate of Horace Garner's from Cedar Rapids before Horace. Horace was destined for the major leagues, but then he had an injury and ended up as part of the Cedar Rapids ball club supporter for many years. But, read stories about when they were in the Sally League, and, you know, so he and Felix Mantia or Felix Mion, one of the two, those three went through hell. when they were in the minor leagues in the 50s and whatnot. And you think about Aaron's career, which is magnificent enough, but then what he had to go through to, you know, and Roger Maris went through the same thing.
Oh yeah.
When he was threatening and to break Babe Ruth's single season record. So people are weird, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. 319-366-1600. We got a great show for you coming up today. We're going to debut Caddy Smack for 2020. And we will talk some golf, give you a little bit of a leave, I guess, from what we're dealing with as far as the coronavirus and stopping the spread of that is concerned. Do your part again, please, everyone out there. Social distancing. Do not leave your home unless you absolutely have to. Take precautions if you have to as well. We're all in this together and making progress. But it's slow and steady, and certainly we're not at the end of the tunnel as far as this is all concerned. But at least the curve is staying low again today from what I read. So that is good news.
Well, certainly, and I couldn't underscore that any more than doing what we're doing right now has made a difference. And where it comes to an end, who knows? But that's the best advice we can give you. And we're not doctors, we're not politicians, we're not anything except purveyors of information, I guess. And that's the best thing I think we can tell people and remind people.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about that as far as the golf industry is concerned. Our friend Brian Haas is going to join us in about 6 or 7 minutes or so, and we will have our first Caddy Smack of the year. And we'll talk some golf. Of course, tournaments are shut down right now. There are several things to talk about. Courses, for the most part, not all of them are open. Some are open. People are practicing social distancing rules out there. We'll ask Brian about what golf courses are doing as far as their part in not spreading or helping or just doing their part to curb the spread of the coronavirus is a good way to put it. But interested to hear what Brian has to say, because I know the golf folks have been in constant communication with one another, and that is actually one of the few things you can do right now, if you're careful, is to go out and play a round of golf.
Yes, indeed. And I know Brian was at the PGA merchandise show in January, and perhaps we'll get some updates on the latest in equipment, golf balls, and whatnot.
True. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you out there. Again, as 319-366-1600. We'll also talk about a thing that the Iowa Golf Association is putting on. A lot of different entities are doing this as far as social networking is concerned and the social platforms out there. The Iowa Golf Association is going and starting their Dream 18. Gee, where'd they get that model from, Mark? Mm. Oh, Caddy Smack. We did that, 3 years ago? Came up with our 18 toughest holes?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We could probably dig that out sometime if we have to. But at any rate, the Iowa Golf Association is doing that, and they're going actually numerically by holes. And right now they've got the three finalists up for the number one hole in the state. As far as the first hole is concerned, not the overall toughest number one hole in the state, but the toughest hole with the designation of hole number one on it, or most memorable, if you will. So we'll get to that coming up in a little bit as well. 319-366-1600. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Rick Hartzell is going to join us, the Upper Iowa Athletic Director, and we'll talk about how the Peacocks are dealing with the COVID-19 and whatnot up in Fayette. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow. It's always fun to talk to Rick Hartzell.
It is indeed. He's had quite a career in officiating athletic administration. And in talking to Rick this week, he reminds me he's now vice president for athletics.
Oh,
and not just athletics director. So
our bad.
he was good natured about that, but it's interesting because Upper Iowa is the only Division II school in the state, and how this has impacted. Plus, as you know, Scott, Upper Iowa has one of the top esports teams in the country.
They do.
And that falls under the umbrella of Rick Hartzell as vice president of athletics. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that. And then we'll have a Friday topic for you coming up as well this Friday. I think Mark's got a pretty good one. We'll let you know about that coming up tomorrow on the show here. Again, 319-366-1600. Mentioned Hank Aaron's anniversary today. More uniform news. Yesterday, Tampa Bay with a slightly different variation of their uniform. If you are so inclined, today the Atlanta Falcons came out with their new several color combinations out there. Still red, black, and white, if you're wondering. They didn't go back to their old roots, but they kind of combined old and new and retro a little and whatnot, but it still looks like the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, not a lot of difference in my mind from what I saw. A
couple of their uniforms have ATL on the front, so maybe that's paying homage to the NBA. Because that's what a lot of the NBA teams are doing, and I think the Atlanta Hawks are doing that as well, as far as one of their combinations of uniforms are concerned. But this must be the NFL uniform time of the year. I don't know. We'll see. And speaking of the NFL, one other thing that came across today, members of the front office of the Pittsburgh Steelers asking the National Football League to extend the draft this year. Now, the draft is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow, as a matter of fact, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And they are asking for three more rounds of the NFL draft due to the fact that, due to the coronavirus, scouts have not had as good of an opportunity to evaluate talent as they usually do. And they're looking for three more rounds to perhaps find that diamond in the rough out there. I don't think 2 weeks ahead of the draft it's probably going to come to fruition, Mark, but the Steelers are at least asking for it.
What do you mean they haven't had time? They've got tape from every game these guys have ever played.
True.
You know, just because you can't, you know, physically measure a guy's hands, come on.
Not for it? You're not going with it?
Well, I'm not going with that excuse or that reason. These scouts have all kinds of information and video of these guys. Come on.
Yeah, true. 319-366-1600. By the way, I've got one eye on this and one eye on the replay of the 86 Masters that's going on right now, Mark.
That's the beauty of working from home and talking to you on Skype, because I've got it on right now.
By the way, Steve Nicklaus, his son Steve, on the bag that day for Jack in the golden day of 1986 when Jack came from behind to win the tournament.
Yeah, it was very cool. Father and son working jointly to win that tournament. What was he, 42, something like that, Scott?
46.
46. 46, okay.
46 in 1986. And one of the golf writers, leading golf writers of the day, wrote to start Masters week that the bear was done, and that got under Jack's skin quite a bit.
No doubt about it. Text line weighing in on last night's storm, 3805. After the hail last night, I went out and hit some golf ball hailstones.
Oh.
Hailstones with a wedge.
Man. Yeah, there were.
Some places of town, they were that big.
Yeah, I know Larry Gladson put out on social networking that he put a golf ball next to a hailstone, and they were just about the same size out there. So, yeah, I hope everybody came through okay, and we hopefully will not have any hail that size once again. 319-366-1600. Oh, it was Jackie on the bag that day. My bad. 4007. The Department of Corrections. It was Jackie on the bag that day, not Steve. So there you go. Jackie was on the bag that
Jackie,
day.
Jackie, yes.
Still a great day, no matter which Nicklaus boy was on the bag. No doubt. No doubt. All right, we're going to talk golf. Brian Haas is going to join us, and it will be Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming your way right here at KGYM. Stay with us. More to come after this here on 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, and the Gym OT, 107.5 FM.
The term yoga in general kind of emulates community. I had the business plan in my head for years, but never really knew if I was going to be able to kind of take that leap. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I knew that the passion was going to make it not seem like work. Jupeka was really there for me, helping me kind of gain financial literacy. So that way, the day that I did actually walk in the door, I had a really good credit score. Anything along the way that I did, I wanted to make sure that I was being smart about it and I was doing it the best way possible. Everything from the business loan to setting up the LLC, and then the insurance to the business as well too. Jupeka really was a great guide and a resource for me getting this whole entire project off the ground. We've built an amazing community here within Soul Revolution, and honestly, we could not have done that without the help and support of Jupeka. There's been a couple of classes when I'll walk in, and especially when it's a busy room and I start to get choked up. Those are the days when it's like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Your money for good. Learn more at Jupeka.com. Equal housing opportunity.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
During the COVID-19 pandemic, Iowa law prohibits price gouging. It is illegal to charge excessive prices for goods and services needed by disaster victims. This applies to items sold in stores, on social media, or online. Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller will pursue price gouging complaints, and businesses or individuals found in violation could face penalties of up to $40,000. Report price gouging at iowaattorneygeneral.gov or 888-777-4590. Furnished by the Iowa Broadcasters Association.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Back with you on the Gym Class here in KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3, 107.5, and 106.3. That down in Iowa City. Thank you very much for joining us here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour with our first Caddy Smack episode. We're going to get to Brian Haas here in just a moment. Should also mention today, Mark, congratulations going out to Tom Brands as he was named the National Wrestling Coaches Association Coach of the Year today. I think he'd probably trade that for another trophy, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that was really a no-brainer because Iowa was spotless this year. Dual meet-wise, tournament-wise, Big Ten Championship, and still an excellent honor, though. And there are some others that maybe, deserve support, but nobody more than Tom Brands.
No doubt. So congratulations to Tom and the Iowa wrestling staff as a whole, as Tom named the National Wrestling Coaches Association Coach of the Year. We're going to talk some golf with you here on the program today. If you'd like to text in a question when we call for it, love to hear from you out there at 319-366-1600 on the text line. As I would imagine most of the golfers out there have at least tried to get out anyway, if they haven't made it out. And we welcome back the star of Caddy Smack, Brian Haas from Blue Top Ridge at Riverside. And course, has been joining us since the start of this program, and definitely could not do it without him. And are you down at the course, or are you at your house right now, Brian?
I am at home social distancing.
Ah, very good, very good. But the course is open, correct?
The course is open, yes. Yeah, we have, in my household, my wife has had a double lung transplant, so I have to be careful, and I can't bring that home, so she's at high risk.
Sure.
So I've been working from home.
There you go.
Brian, what kind of precautions have you put in place and your staff put in place during the pandemic?
Sure. It's kind of scary. And so we're being really careful. Obviously, our resort is closed as a whole. And the only thing open is the golf operations, meaning just to play golf. So a few things that we've done is we only have 4 staff members working at a time. And that's one to move some carts around, one to check you in, and one to answer the phone, and the other one to help the other two. And so that being said, they check in the clock garden at the cafe instead of in the golf shop. We closed the golf shop so that we wouldn't have a gathering place. And we just had the halfway house or the cafe window open just a little bit just to accept credit cards. So then it's one person per cart. And then we also used, if you know what a swimming noodle is, we put a swimming noodle around the pin at the bottom of the cup so that your ball will kind of go in, but it only goes maybe halfway in at best.
Mm. And yes, and a lot of courses have been doing that. I've heard that. I've heard some PVC pipe in the holes. I've heard that route. And of course, and
the same thing. Yep.
Yeah. No rakes in the bunkers right now.
Yeah, no rakes in the bunkers, no ball washers, no coolers on the cart, no sand bottles on the carts, all those things. So golf cart-wise, we have a team of 2 that all they do is clean the carts before they go out, scrub them, and get them ready for each guest. And then when they come back in, we have the guests help us out, pull it into the area where we're going to scrub them again so that our staff stays safe, and they get scrubbed again before they get put away. So we're being super, super careful, and we already use 10-minute tee times. Even though we have 80 golf cars and could have 80 people on our golf course, we're limiting that as well to make sure that we keep the right amount of space and don't end up with a bunch of people gathering because of sheer numbers of people.
It's not like it's been terrific weather at this early date, Brian, in April, but curious with the casino closed and whatnot, for whatever length of time, what impact it may have on your operations?
Oh, sure. It'll probably be at minimum 50% revenues for sure. And I would imagine that's going to be the way it is for most. People, if at this point, I would imagine, aren't buying new golf clubs. They're not buying a new golf shirt. They're just looking to get out of the house. And so we'll get some green fee revenue. You just don't get all the little ancillary sales like lunch and all the fun things that go along with a day at the golf course. I think we're really, truly using it as an outlet to get out of the house, get some sanity and some normalcy.
True, true. And I think that probably goes for lessons as well. That's a backbone of a lot of golf courses, yours included in there. And that's on hold too.
It is. We closed the practice range again for the safety reasons and also closed the performance studio. So it just relates to those touch points, and we're just trying to eliminate any of the touch points possible and from, again, people gathering together, by accident, just because it's such a natural thing to do when you play golf. So we just want to make sure all those touch points were covered and that we don't make any mistakes that way. I still see a few of my students, but we do it over video using my iPad or computer, and I can still watch them practice because there are some ranges that are open. And so they're going to those ranges, having a video made of themselves, getting their phone on a phone stick and taking a video, sending it to me, and I can take a look at their swing that way.
Is there anything I can do in my backyard, Brian, during this time?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? There's, you know, the biggest thing to do is get out and keep walking. You know, that first day, whether you walk or ride, when you get out to play that first full 18 holes of golf, you're going to be tired. You know, we haven't done a ton of walking yet, just like any spring golf. And enjoy some of this good weather. We had some great weather today. And for those that have to shelter at home, it was a great day to get out and walk and just be out in the sunshine and get those your bodies moving so that when we do get back onto the golf course, walking to your ball and up to the green and back and all those different things that you do, or if you are a walker, be ready for it.
Very true. Very true. Brian Haas joining us, Caddy Smack on the Gym Class 329 here on a Wednesday edition of the show. And we're going to take your questions, a couple of them already coming in here at 319-366-1600. And we'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. Of course, we don't have any professional golf going on right now, naturally, with everything being shut down. The last golf we had was the first round of the Players' Championship, and it was a strange day that Thursday. Played the first round with spectators. They announced they were not going to play the remainder of the tournament without spectators, and then the same day they said, that's it, we're done. It was going to be done for 2 or 3 weeks, and now we're looking at an entire revamped schedule as far as golf is concerned. So I think we've ran the gamut here over the last month, just like anything else.
Yeah, that was crazy, and it's really not any different than what we did with all of our businesses throughout Iowa. You know, one day we thought we were open, and we were all being careful, and we knew about COVID-19, and we're trying to be careful about it. I happened to be in Vegas at the time, and as soon as we got back, it really broke loose at that point, and really all of a sudden, depending on if you were in important business and what you did for a living, whether you were open or not. So the same thing happened at the PGA Tour. It's very similar. I think we're going to see some different events. If I remember right, some of them were pushed pretty deep into the fall.
Brian, I don't know if you can totally answer this, but let's localize this thing and how it has or might impact the Iowa PGA section, because you're still competitive, you still play.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll impact it quite a bit. They're going to have to, the board of directors for the PGA, Iowa PGA, is going to have to go back and decide if they're going to have a player of the year. If in the PGA of America, for that matter, because of our section championship, just our section championship alone, typically is, you know, that sends somebody to the national professional championship. And then it also sends somebody to the John Deere the following season. So that holds a lot of spots in just that one event. So that one's going to be an important one to try to find a date for. And, it's going to be very interesting because there's not a lot of dollars that we play for, but there's some dollars, and some of those guys that really get after it can make a small living at that.
True, true. Yeah, and it's going to be such a change. Of course, right now, the big change is the fact that golfers, the high school golfers, the college golfers aren't out there. College golfers are going to get another year. High school golfers, there's hope anyway. They have a little bit of a condensed season for about a month, but who knows? They may entirely lose their final year as far as golf is concerned. And that's rough on them. It's also rough on the golfers that are looking to play at the next level as far as college is concerned. You know that, and you've been through that before. And it's tough. It's tough for them to be seen, and tough for the juniors even to be seen now.
It is, and it's good and bad all in one. I'll throw out Sterling McIlravey, who we had on the show last year. Is playing up at Kirkwood, and you know Kirkwood had a great chance at running for the national championship this year. Their team is strong. They went to their first event, and if I remember correctly, they won by quite a few shots.
Yeah.
And so That being said, you know, their whole season's wiped out and they didn't get a chance to run at the national championship. But because of that, they all got one more year of eligibility. Well, because that's a junior college, for the junior college players, they're no longer juniors heading into the next season. They're back to being sophomores. So someone like Sterling, who got a spot at Ball State University, who won our Golf Week Collegiate Challenge over at Cedar Rapids Country Club last year, he's going to go play with them, and he's going to have 3 years with them instead of two.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that's going to be really nice. So for some of the junior college players, it's a bummer that they didn't get to play for the national championship. But in Sterling's case, he's going to get 3 years playing for a ranked team where he would have only had two.
Hey, Brian, we got a question on our text line for you, 9267. What is it about buying a new driver that makes you hit it well for a week and then back all over again?
I love it. Well, that's most likely just something in our swings that change regularly. And sometimes you just need to know what that is in your swing. So if you haven't had a chance to be with a golf professional that uses TrackMan or something like that, you know, that might be something you want to do, because the day that you get the driver, you know, here's the thing about a new driver, you get excited and you get swinging at the target and it's so much fun and your adrenaline is higher than typically normal, unless you're playing your buddies for $20 or something. And, that happens a lot. I see that at fitting days. They get excited, you know, hit some really good shots that day for you, and then you say, I can't hit this thing at all. And they come back, and I will usually put them on my TrackMan, and they'll be swinging 15 degrees off target line. And that's typically what it is. Something just went awry in their golf swing, because the club doesn't change. It's a static thing that doesn't move. You got to move it.
Why do bats?
You know, it's a great question too. But the issue is typically it's the person swinging the golf club. We got to take another quick look and make sure they're swinging at the target.
Why do bad habits just keep coming back after, you know, you get rid of them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the most? All of a sudden, they start to creep back in, especially if it's a high-pressure situation, if you're in a tournament, or like you talked about, if you're playing your buddy for a small stipend or something like that. Boy, that brain just goes right back to it, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, and it's the funniest thing ever. And, you know, to answer the question earlier about what can you do, it's about really finding out what those issues are in your golf swing. And again, somebody with a flight scope or a TrackMan and a video system can really help you find that and let you see what your mistake is, so that when you are having that day, you realize, okay, I got to be swinging, we'll just call it 15 degrees left. That's the most common thing I see. And I got to start swinging my hands more toward that target, you know, in general. It may not be exactly that, but that's just one example. When you start to learn that, and you can move your swing into the right direction toward a target and away from your mistake, you can kind of fix that as you're playing along, or at least manage it. And that's something that everybody can get to today that maybe wasn't so available to them, you know, just not that many years ago.
Hey, Brian, I know you were at the PGA merchandise show in January. Can you let folks in on what you saw in terms of equipment, balls, or what have you?
Yeah, it hasn't changed a lot, and I don't think we're going to see a ton of change now. The one thing that I noticed this year was a lot of the manufacturers went more toward like a traditional Titleist head or a traditional ping head, where it's a little more forgiving. The weight is a little bit lower and further back, and they're getting away from that weight super far forward and close to the face that really takes the spin away from the ball. So they're all building something a little closer to a Titleist than a ping. On the other end of that, Titleist and ping are moving a little bit closer to a TaylorMade and a Callaway. So they've kind of merged together, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it kind of found a good little sweet spot in the middle, because you could really pinpoint a one of the manufacturers as a really low spin driver, but if you miss the middle of the face, you'd lose a lot of yards. And you could pinpoint another driver as very, very forgiving, but maybe a little bit spinny because they had to wait so low and so far back. So they've all kind of really merged together. On the iron side of things, there's been some really big changes in lofts. Not so much like it was maybe 10 years ago when some of the first TaylorMade stuff came out, and I'm not criticizing them, but they made a really fast iron. I think it was called Rocket Balls, and it went forever. It was two, maybe even three clubs longer than everybody's, but it just didn't spin. So they didn't get the center of gravity low enough or where it belonged to get the ball to spin and stop on a green. And so it was, you hit it a long way, but when it hit the green, it kept going. So it was like having seven or eight drivers in your bag. Now what they've done, they've all figured it out because they're building these irons more like a car chassis. There's a chassis and then all these parts that they put together. They might still be a forged golf club or a cast golf club, depending on what type of club you get. But they're made of 4 to 8 parts. And then those parts are all put together and they're able to put the center of gravity exactly where they want it. They can get the lofts a lot lower. And so you're hitting, pitching wedges 150 yards, that sort of thing. And if you really think about it, would you rather have a 6-iron in your hand or an 8-iron or a 6-iron or a 9-iron, depending on what that difference is for you and how much farther they're going? I can tell you with my set of clubs, there's even playing at 7,000 yards, there isn't many holes that I don't have a 9-iron or less in my hand into the green all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll see. Yeah, I think you're right about the technology, and it's going to be interesting to see what this kind of shutdown, if you will, and how that is going to affect it for 2021. It's going to be interesting. Or
yeah,
there
the
may be.
The shutdown was very interesting.
Yeah.
I had a client that ordered some clubs, and he needed his right away, so I fast-tracked him through. And he got them for a trip that he went on prior to all the COVID-19 that's going on. And he just sent me a message the other day and said, hey, any chance you know when my son clubs are coming around? And I said, well, when the state of California opens again. Because all the club manufacturers are shut down. They're basically all in the California area. Some of them are in the Texas area. But nonetheless, they've all been closed down. I'm not aware of one that is still up and functioning at this point. Yeah. And so anybody that has special orders out there, be good to your golf professionals and the reps because they don't have any control over it.
No, they do not. They do not. 3:41 here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, our first Caddy Smack session of the year as we talk golf. If you have a question for Brian Haas from Blue Top Ridge, love to hear you. Love to hear from you on the text line at 319-366-1600. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk some more golf with you right after this here on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial,
it's a little weird.
A family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Wish we were back to normal.
It's fine if you don't feel fine right now. You're allowed to feel worried or afraid, but if your worry or fear has taken you to a dark place you can't see yourself climbing out of, it's time to talk. There are available right now at Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. They're great listeners. Just call 855-325-4296. Or if you'd rather text, no problem. It's the same number, 855-325-4296. At KGYM, we care about you now and always.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that it may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of
now,
tax attorneys and
September,
enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192.
Well, they,
that's 800-687-5192.
So,
U.S. Tax Shield.
800-687-5192.
The Home Depot is here to help, and we have many ways to help. You can download our app or go online
find
the essential products and information you need quickly. You can order what you need online, and we can have it waiting for you at the store. Or we can even deliver over a million
items free.
And we have thousands of how-to videos for the projects and repairs you need to make. We're here to help. The Home Depot.
It's going to be a lot of that.
Done.
Not very flowery, though.
In business today, being ready is more challenging than ever. As you work to keep your doors open and employees and customers protected, Cintas is here to help. Our trucks can deliver essential supplies like soap, microfiber towels, disposable gloves, paper towels, toilet tissue, and safety glasses. We can even sanitize your restrooms. We'll serve you with the speed and dedication you need. Learn how Cintas can help your business stay ready at Cintas.com.
Back on the Gym Class at 3:44 here on KGYM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you, joined by Brian Haas from Blue Top Ridge at Riverside, as our Caddy Smack program debuts for 2020 right here on KGYM as we talk golf. Your questions are welcome at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600, and a couple of questions have come in. One asking, I think tongue-in-cheek, if they should spend their wife's stimulus check on golf lessons. I'm not going to condone that. So
I'm all in for it. Go for it.
Go for it.
That's funny.
True. Do have a question here.
That is hilarious.
Yes. Well, I think tongue-in-cheeky right now. But
yeah.
8369 asks, and this is a very interesting question, and I'm kind of interested to hear your answer. Do you recommend the Mo Norman one swing plane approach for older people who can't turn or have bad backs? And if people don't know, Mo Norman, tremendous ball striker, was a pro out of Canada, more known for his teaching, being a teaching pro, than actually going out and winning money as a touring pro anyway. But as far as ball strikers are concerned, Mo Norman is probably considered one of the best three ball strikers in golf of all time.
Yeah, if not the best, right? I agree with that. And what a great guy, and interesting. I mean, I believe he had some form of autism, if I remember correctly. And it's interesting. So when you look at, I'm drawing an absolute blank on the tour player that swings the one length clubs.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau. So, you know, he works on a one-plane swing. So here's my view of a one-plane swing. And the Mo Norman is a little bit different than that, even though it is a one-plane swing. He works with a little bit of separation in your hands and stance and how your arms are, which isn't too different than DeChambeau. But there's some similarities there. It can be done, and probably even easier is to go to a one-length club than probably trying to get to a one-plane swing, because if you are over my height, so I'll call myself 5'7" on the high side, and typically at that size, a lot of those players already have a one-plane swing, and it's really just because of their location to the ground. And as you start getting toward that 5'10", 6-foot range, those players typically all have a two-plane swing, which is very normal. And it's just because, again, your relative body position to the ground. It's not to say you can't have a one-plane swing and you can work on it. DeChambeau is a great example of that. That is one tour player out of 400 that's capable of really doing it at that size. So that gives me the feeling of, you know, that's going to be really a difficult task. There are quite a few players that are messing around with one-length golf clubs, which may help your situation. But sometimes if you're over that, call it right around that 6-foot range, moving from a two-plane swing to a one-plane swing would take a lifetime of work. It'd be very difficult, but it's worth trying, because if you can do it and it fits your body style, there's no doubt an advantage to it, because your club is staying on the same plane all the time.
Brian, I know you spent some time in your youth in the South. Not that Mississippi and Georgia are close by any means, but can you give us an idea what the Masters is going to look like in November?
I know. I was just saying that when we were off the air, and I was wondering, is it going to be flowery? There's a lot of pines there, so I feel like it's going to be very green. You may see more pine needles on the ground, possibly. We're heading into the November fall time frame. I'm just thinking back to my days, right in Mississippi, and we went up to Georgia and played around there as well. It's green. Everything's still kind of green. There's a lot of pines, and some of those trees, I forget what they're called, they're kind of, rough looking, gnarly looking trees. They stay green a lot longer too. So my concern more than anything is we're so used to looking at the beautiful azaleas and the different flowers that they have around Augusta that it's just going to look very different. And maybe there will be some more color there. November, I don't know, is late enough to get some real color.
True. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And who knows how fast the course is going to play in November. I mean, we could see totally different conditions in these major championships that we usually see. You're going to have the U.S. Open being played in September. You're not going to have more than likely the roll and the fast conditions that you had in June. Of course, we're not having an Open championship this year. And we're back to more of a what we're used to as far as the PGA championship is concerned, back to where it used to be on the golf calendar. So it'll get back to May, hopefully next year, but right now it's going to be back in August.
Well, Augusta won't be any different, I don't think, as far as speed goes, because they have that sub-air system. So they have technology at their fingertips. They can pull the water out of those greens in the matter of an hour. And so their golf courses may be a little bit different. I expect you'll still see the same speeds as long as there's not a ton of rain. It's going to be pretty fast.
And Brian, I wonder, in talking to your colleagues and your own personal thoughts about the pandemic right now and how long it might last, how long golf courses may stay with what's going on right now. And it's partly personal because I chair a golf committee that we have a tournament in August. And if I have to buy twice as many carts, that may have an impact on what I might do in August.
Right. Well, I also think we're all going to work with you on that. And, we have all these events set up. All of my April and May events are pretty well awash at this point. We just want to be on the safe side of things. So we haven't washed out, I don't believe, any June events yet or anything past June at this point. So I feel like we'll be pretty good. And this is just my opinion. I don't play a doctor on TV or anything like that. But I'd like to think that after we get into June, maybe it's even mid-June, that we've kind of got this thing at bay. But the reality is we don't know. And I know as a golf course operator, I'm going to work with every event to make it work. I realize they're going to be hurting a little bit. The charity events are going to have the roughest time, because the reality is a lot of people aren't going to have the extra dollars to put toward the charities and come to these expensive events that, the money's really going to charity. And that's why the event costs maybe a little bit more than just going to play golf. So I know us as a facility will work with those events, try to make it workable for both of us so that we can continue to play, have fun, and try to move on and get through this whole process that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. 352, another question coming in via the text line here, and a very good one. 1219 asks, and this deals with the conditions you're playing in right now. How much yardage do you add, Brian, for cold weather, say from 50 degrees to 70 degrees or vice versa? How much should you add as far as yardage and, I suppose, as far as a club is concerned?
Yeah, it can be as much as one or two clubs. It just really depends on the pressure. So I find that, like this little front that we have coming in right now in North Liberty, that those kinds of fronts put a lot more pressure on the golf ball, and you can come up as much as a half to a full club short. So it's really more about the pressure that comes in from fronts that are coming and going. You could have the same temperature, but depending on that pressure, whether your ball flies or not. So I don't put it as much on how warm or cold it is, as much as where's that front in compared to where we're playing golf at. That tends to have a little more pressure on how far your ball will carry. Don't get me wrong, if we start playing in 40-degree weather, your ball's not going to carry as much, and that sort of thing. But when we're talking 50s and 60s, it's really more reliable on the fronts that are around us and whether, you know, it's clear or not. And that has a lot more pressure on your golf ball.
Mark, bring a barometer next time.
What's that?
You bring the barometer next time.
I will do that. Right. Nicholas has made 3 birdies in a row in 86, Brian.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes, we have one eye on that right now. I bet Jack wins again, though.
Have either of you gotten out to play yet?
Yes, last Sunday, as a matter of fact. And I wanted to ask you one question from that, is the fact that now with the flag sticks being in, or however, you guys got the noodles and, you know, just whatever your course has out there that you play routinely your golf at. It's different because Mark and I are both guys that like to take the stick out. We're old school for you. Short putts, and had to do that on Sunday for the first time. And, you know, like the earlier texter talked about, when you have a new driver, everything goes well. Well, I made like my first 5 under 10 footers doing that, thankfully, because that saved around a little bit. But still, at any rate, it was a different look, and maybe I've been doing it wrong all these years.
Right. I'm pretty sure I've been doing it wrong all these years.
Or at least last year.
Right, because that's how we all feel about our games. You know, it's hard to say, you know, that you're good at anything because this game is so hard and difficult. But, you know, there are some benefits to the flag in, and it's seeing the line. So that flag going vertical also helps you see the line. So if you're a plumb bobber and someone that sees the curvature of the green by holding their putter up in front of them, plumb bobbing, the flag stick is to your advantage because you're going to see the same thing. And that does help. So for some players that you may not know that you're a plumb bobber, and you may find out by leaving the flag in that everything looks better to you because of that vertical line.
Crazy. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Mark, we got about another 90 seconds here if you got something for Brian before we depart today.
No, in answer to his question, I have not been out yet. I need to get a cataract fix first, Brian.
Oh, there you go. Well, that'll make it better. I know when I had my LASIK done, my golf got a lot better, and I really liked it. And that's typically when they take your cataract out, I believe they pretty much give you a good vision afterwards.
There you go.
Yep. I will look forward to that, Brian.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, hey, appreciate you coming on. We'll look forward to our next visit, but keep the faith up, you and the rest of the golf industry out there.
Thank you. We appreciate it. I miss you guys. I wish I was there with you today. I missed that because I don't think we've had an opening day with me not being in there.
So. No, nope.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having me on, and I miss you guys. See ya.
All right, Brian Haas, the pro from Blue Top Ridge down at Riverside, joining us here today on the Gym Class on KGYM. Mark, tonight would have been a red-letter night, not because Modern Family is coming to an end, which is a red-letter night as well, But it would have been the final night of bowling in America tonight, correct?
Indeed. This would have been the wrap-up. But as everyone knows out there, the final month of the season is at a minimum on hold. But we send our best wishes out to not only our fellow league members, but to Mace City Bowl and all the bowling operators. Closed through at least the end of April, and whether we resume or not remains to be seen.
All right, yes. Our thoughts with all those folks out there. And, coming up tomorrow, Rick Hartzell will join us from Upper Iowa University, the athletic director and vice president of athletics, or whatever it is. We'll find out about that title. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Mark.
Sounds great.
All right, stay tuned. Todd next on KGYM.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community.